Right, hello everybody. We be live. Hi, again. I saw Rivka was writing her final notes right before we went live. Hi, Rivka.
Hey, everybody.
Prepared. Yeah, Rivka is prepared to take this guy. You gonna take this guy down, Rivka? Is that what you're gonna do today?
I brought the receipts, as they say.
Oh, great. People are here already in the live chat. Oh, people are very interested to be here. People saw the title on. Yeah, hi, everyone. And also, Soho is saying the audio is great. Thank you, everyone. All right, so let's just get right into it. I saw this video, and I'm like, yeah, we need to address this, right? So, Rivka, can you give us a background on who this guy is and what is the video that we're reviewing?
Okay, so this is Norman Finkelstein, and he's on the Katie Halper show. Katie is, I don't know enough about her other than to know that she is a prolific anti-Israel, anti-Zionist person who tweets a lot, and apparently she has a show. I just found that out. She once tweeted, you know, that Israel didn't have a right to exist. So there's
let's
her.
Focus on fake.
Okay,
yeah,
now Finkelstein.
Norman. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Norman Finkelstein. So he's a political scientist and he's big on Holocaust research and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now, his parents were Holocaust survivors. So he brings that a lot into his whatever his arguments are as to give him cred. But he wrote a book about what he called the Big H, the Holocaust industry, that people exploit it as a weapon. He's very anti-Israel. He's very, I don't know if he's comes right out and says he's anti-Zionist. I don't know enough. I don't remember enough about him, rather, but he's very, you know, anti-Israel. He talks about, he's agreeing with all the talking points about, how terrible Israel is, how it's an apartheid state, all these things. But like I said, he's very much lauded amongst a lot of anti-Israel people because one, he's Jewish, and two, he has all their points as well. But he, in my opinion, anyways, he talks a lot about feelings too. Like he uses that a lot as a manipulation. And then you have something at some point from him. And he's claimed that he's left wing. You know, he has degrees. You know, he did his doctoral thesis on Zionism.
Right. So we don't need to get into more detail because I want to start playing the video, but also you watch this video, right? The video that we're about to play. So this is him and Sam Harris having him addressing Sam Harris's point on the Israel-Palestine conflict. I mean, Israel-Gaza conflict, I should say. But yeah, what are your thoughts on the video in general before we start playing it?
Well, I feel like his refutation, in my opinion, was weak because he it talked a lot about his fifis, his feelings. Exactly, right. Seat of Iblis. He pick me, Jew. Sorry, I looked at his comment. I want to get into it so I can refute the points that what it is Sam Harris is on Piers Morgan and he makes some points about the ideology of Islamism and some of what's how that affects the situation in Gaza. And Dr. Finkelstein is like saying, you know, no, this isn't the case, but I don't know. I feel like he doesn't bring a lot. He brings a spaghetti stick to his knife fight.
Let's just get into it. By the way, Secular Sakai just gave us a super sticker. Thank you so much, Secular Sakai, which reminds me, I have to make sure I monitor the monetization of this show and see at what point we're going to get demonetized. And thank you to everybody who uses Super Chats and Super Stickers, because we often get demonetized and we wouldn't be able to do these streams if it wasn't for the Super Chats and the, you know, Super Stickers. So let's just listen to this and see what...
Someone else that you wrote about on your Substack is Sam Harris, and his appearance on Piers Morgan. I wanted to just watch a bit of that and have you respond to it. He's, of course, someone who does not think there's a genocide.
Let's turn to why you actually came on tonight. We had an interesting debate last night involving several people. One was Mossab Hassan Youssef. He's the son of one of the Hamas co-founders who then renounced Hamas and moved away. And he said this about what's going on at the moment in the Israel Gaza wars. Take a listen.
Any person who put the religious identity above the highest interest of humanity, I have no respect for this people. The majority of the Muslim people identified with Hamas, supported Hamas. Show me how many Muslims out there who condemned Hamas genocide.
What was interesting about that is that he was really suggesting that the motivating factor behind what Hamas did and why people are supporting them in such big numbers in the Muslim community is because they're Muslims. It's religion driven. Now, you're an atheist, but what do you think of that, of this idea that it's actually really about religion?
Well, I'm going to agree with him. I think it's interesting to note that many of your listeners will doubt my ability to make the statements of the sort I'm now going to make, but they can't doubt that of him, right? I mean, he obviously knows whereof he speaks, right? You can't play the identity politics game with him and say that, you know, he doesn't understand the culture, he's the wrong skin color, he doesn't speak the language, et cetera, et cetera. So let's flag that particular qualm with what I'm going to say.
I mean, we have better reasons to know that this is because of Islam beyond just that guy claiming it, right? Like, we have actually really good evidence to know that this is because of Islam. We don't have to trust these people. Yeah,
I think that Sam's trying to say that people are going to say, oh, well, you live in America and you look white and your heritage is Jewish. So therefore,
I understand that.
But it's also interesting because Sam brings up a point, and you'll see it later in Finkelstein's refutation. And I think, yes, you're right. We don't need to talk about those facts. But often, particularly leftists, talk about lived experience and your identity and, you know, who you are as a reason why we should listen to people or why their argument must be right because they have the lived experience. And so bringing Mossab Hassan's lived experience into it, yes, you're right. It's not a stellar argument, but it does come into play in terms of how leftists view.
Yeah, if we're using their standards, well, this guy is that red skin color and has the lived experience. But I mean, I don't want to play by their standards. We have actual verifiable evidence that this is because of Islam. Yeah, but let's continue.
It should just be obvious to everyone, which is that we have a vast number of people in the Muslim community worldwide, not just in the occupied territories or in Gaza, who are powerfully deranged by religious symbols and their religious identity, which is to say, it is the most important thing to them, but more important even than the deaths of their own children, right? We're talking about a culture, again, I'm not talking about just Palestinians, I'm talking about the Muslim community worldwide in dozens of countries that has produced a seemingly unending supply of suicide bombers over the last 50 years, right? We're talking about societies where phenomena that should be impossible are simply to be expected. I mean, literally like rigging children to explode. Just that, I mean, think of how deranging that is for an army or a police force or an NGO or anyone to have to imagine that a child isn't simply a child, but a child might, in fact, under certain circumstances, be a bomb, right? I mean, that is the situation we're in. We're talking about a society, and now I'm talking about the Gaza and the West Bank in particular, where in their schools, They teach six-year-olds the love of martyrdom, the literal aspiration to die as a martyr, and the hatred of Jews. And many of these schools are UN-funded, right? So this is a terrifying situation, which...
I'm told, I've not read Sam Harris. I'm perfectly happy to.
By the way, before we hear this idiot speak, I can also live the experience. I grew up in Iran. I went to school there. Even though our education when it comes to brainwashing and indoctrination was much milder compared to what happens in, you know, Gaza. I mean, one of the first lessons that we learn is of a boy called Hossein Fahmideh, who, this is in elementary school, who puts, I don't know, grenade. Why they say grenades? Because I don't think that's how grenades work. But he basically straps grenades to himself and he just goes under a tank and blows up a tank. And he's a child. And this is the first hero that it is introduced to us as children in elementary school in Iran. And this is part of the school curriculum. So this is like completely, I mean, this is like, we know this happens like on a wide scale. So it's completely true.
I'm perfectly happy to admit that. I'm told these are...
Wait, what did he say about Sam Harris? Let's just go back here.
He's
and then
just
play
saying, home. I will play.
Yeah, I will just play. You go here. Okay.
Right. So this is a terrifying situation, which
I'm told, I've not read Sam Harris. I'm perfectly happy to admit that. I'm told he's a smart guy, and I never diminish intellectual achievement where it's real, just like I wouldn't diminish athletic achievement, I wouldn't diminish musical achievement. I may hate Barbara Streisand's politics, but my mother, who was a connoisseur of music, said she had an incredible voice. I'm willing to defer to that. So I'm not going to, maybe he's a smart guy, but it's just really hard for me.
What is the point of saying that, Rivka, before he gets into criticizing him? Like, what is the... I know there's a strategy here.
Lawyers do this a lot, where they concede a point to then turn around and say, you know, like, oh, I'm told he's a smart guy, but let me show you how dumb he is, kind of thing. I feel like he's also virtue signaling. Like, I would never diminish intelligence, you know? I don't know. It's also part of just his personality style, I think, to sound conciliatory to a degree in the beginning. I really do. I think that is just this sort of strategy of conceding something to then refute it. It's an argument strategy.
Okay, so a lot of people are saying that they have a hard time hearing. By the way, the audio problem is from them, but I have a solution. I know how to fix this, right? So a lot of people are saying that they can't hear what he's saying. Again, this is their show's problem. We don't have audio problems like that over here.
He also is a quiet speaker. He speaks quietly.
Yes, but I can boost the volume here. You know, and doing a share screen instead and use the VLC's audio boost. Let's go here and see if you could hear it better now.
I'm told, I've not read Sam Harris. I'm perfectly happy to admit that.
Is that...
I'm told...
Oh, wait, Rivka, stay up here. Is that better? Is that better audio?
You guys... He's a smart guy. And I never diminish intellectual achievement where it's real, just like I wouldn't diminish athletic achievement. I wouldn't diminish musical achievement. I may hate Barbara Streisand's politics, but my mother, who was a connoisseur of music, said she had an incredible voice. I'm willing to defer to that. So I'm not going to, maybe he's a smart guy, but it's just really hard for me, really. It strains me. Even as I feel compelled to acknowledge, from what I'm told, he's an intelligent guy. But these statements are just certifiably imbecilic.
Imbecilic. He's like, his words are like, yeah, he's a smart guy. He's a nice, you know, I'm sure he's like intelligent and stuff, but these statements are imbecilic. So again, what did you hear Sam Harris just say? Sam Harris just say that this is because of Islam, and also talking about the way that they view children and how they're trained to become bombs, right? What about that? So for him to, everything he says from now, he needs to give us an argument to show what part of what Sam Harris said was wrong, okay? Because everything Sam Harris said so far in that clip is completely true. It's so easily verifiable. It's so easy to show that what Sam Harris said is true.
First, let's just go through them one by one.
Okay.
He says, well, this guy knows from the inside that these Muslims are crazy, okay? First of all,
that's not what he said. That's not, these Muslims are crazy. See, this is so dishonest. This is so dishonest. You see how he's changing his word? Saying, so when you say, somebody says, oh, these Muslims are crazy, so it's basically something in between what Sam Harris said or somebody else claiming that all Muslims are crazy. And it's not specifically saying all Muslims are crazy, but it's one step between these two statements. So Sam Harris saying that these behavior has something to do with Islam, right? If somebody says that all Muslims are crazy, if that's so easily verifiable that's not true, not all Muslims are crazy, okay? But when you say something in between these two statements and say, oh, he's saying these Muslims are crazy, it's so much easier for the audience to feel like, you know, Sam Harris is just generalizing all Muslims as being radicals or crazy. And you see how subtle that is, Rivka, because what he's changing Sam Harris's word just a little bit, not to the point that he could be accused of saying that Sam Harris is saying that all Muslims are crazy, but enough for the audience to see the connection between what he says Sam Harris is saying and somebody that makes generalized sweeping statements about all Muslims. Do you see what the trick here is? It's very subtle, but it's very clever and it's very dishonest. Go on, Rivka.
So he, two things. One, he's talking about Sam, but he's also referring to Mossab Hassan Youssef, whose father was one of the founding members of Hamas, that he's also saying, you know, and I feel like he's dismissing it by saying, oh, this guy says he knows, he thinks all Muslims are crazy, but, and you'll see what he says in the next sentence to try and refute that. And to be fair, Sam did say that people are deranged by belief system, but that's different from saying they're all crazy.
Yeah, these,
you know,
crazy.
Because
so let's continue.
He's not a Muslim. He renounced from the inside that these Muslims are crazy. Okay, first of all, he's not a Muslim. He renounced this Islam. He's an evangelical Christian. Secondly,
how is that even relevant?
Exactly. He used to be a Muslim. So now he's carrying water for Islam by saying, well, he renounced it. And Mossab Hassan Youssef is a Christian, but is he an evangelical Christian? I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly, but he's claiming stuff with no evidence.
No, but he was there.
Exactly.
Like, hey, I'm not a Muslim. I used to be a Muslim. Does not, if I say, I don't know, Islam is evil, Islam makes you do crazy stuff, is he going to come and say, like, well, you're not a Muslim? I mean, well, neither are you, Norman. Like, why should we listen to you then about Islam?
And that's the point I was trying to make by saying, oh, he just says they're all crazy. But you can't believe him because he's not a Muslim. He's now a crazy Christian. And by, you know, norms standards, you know, some, if he wants to say, well, if you renounce this, you know, people could say the same thing about him, or some people could say, oh, you know, this whole thing about, well, you're not really a Jew because you don't believe in Zionism, which is a core component. You know, that's not part of an argument either. You grew up this way. You lived, you know, this is, it's a juvenile argument.
What is, yeah, I don't even know this, how is that relevant? The guy had the experience. The guy was there. The guy witnessed how they operate. And you're saying, well, he's not even, now he's not even a Muslim? How does that add to your point at all? It doesn't help you at all. I don't know who, why do people think he's such an intellectual? You just made the dumbest point. All right, let's continue with this idiot.
I thought you said we can't trust religious fanatics. But this guy is a religious fanatic. He's a fanatical evangelical Christian.
He didn't say you can't. Okay, he did. Where did he say you can't trust religious fanatics? You're putting words in his mouth. He says, if you are, as the people in the West who think that lived experiences are matter, if you don't trust me because I'm white, because I haven't been there, because I'm not Muslim, I don't have an Islamic background. Well, this guy is saying that. Where does Sam Harris say you cannot trust religious fanatics over anything? Like, in fact, Sam Harris says the opposite. Sam Harris says, trust them. Sam Harris says, when religious fanatics tell you that we're blowing people up because we want to go to heaven, because we want to be martyrs, because we hate your freedom, because we hate your values, Sam Harris doesn't tell you not to trust them. Sam Harris is asking you why you don't believe them. Sam Harris tells you to listen to them. Trust what they're saying. He said Sam Harris is the exact opposite of what Norman is saying here. Go on, Rivka.
And yeah, that's a very good point, because that is quintessential to a lot of what Sam's overarching argument has been for years and years, is that people are telling you, and we've made the same argument saying, you know, when the Hamas tells you why they're doing what they're doing, you need to believe them because they're telling you. But also the other part of this argument that Sam makes is that people who aren't really fanatical believers don't understand what it means to be a true believer. So they dismiss it as something that, you know, nobody's really like that. They don't really mean what they say. It's not really about the religion, because these people who aren't extremists, who aren't, you know, very, very religious fanatics, if you want to use the word of Finkelstein, people who aren't like that, they don't understand what it means to actually be a true believer. So they dismiss it.
Exactly. That's exactly a good point. I think some people in the chat are confused. You're not saying Sam Harris is an atheist, not a Christian. They're referring to the son of that Hamas leader that they referred to in the Piers Morgan show, not Sam Harris. Anyways, let's go continue.
So why do we suddenly credit his testimony? He's a crazy Christian. Before that, he was a deranged Muslim. And the common denominator is he's clearly a lunatic, or he's paid well.
I don't know. Do you think Norman is just so stupid that he doesn't understand Sam Harris's point, or does he just act like he's this stupid? Because Sam Harris is just using the standards of people who don't believe him and say, like, you don't have the life experience, you don't have a Muslim background, and he's just throwing that back at them. Does he not understand what Sam Harris is doing, or he's just a moron?
I think he's playing to his base. That this is, you know, he doesn't necessarily have an argument, or he hasn't taken the time to do his Googles to come up with any kind of argument. And so he's just saying, well, you know, Sam Harris just thinks all Muslims are crazy and all religious people are crazy, so forget him, you know? Mm. And I think that it's just a really weak juvenile argument, and you know, that you could use that for all kinds of things. Well, you used to be this and now you're not, so whatever you say is invalid. I mean, yeah. it's not an argument.
Yeah. All right, it's good.
No, even there he looked like he was reading note cards.
Oh, I forgot. I have one point. As soon as he started talking again, I forgot to write this down. The most important thing about what Finkelstein said previously of like, oh, he's just a crazy religious person, whatever, is he, and he said it, he leaned forward, and he said it kind of quietly, was, or he is paid well. And he's talking about Musa Hassan Youssef, not Sam. He's implying that he is being paid to say these things, and he's implying, and he's not, and I'm making an assumption, but having watched a lot of these videos and heard a lot of stuff from these people, he's implying he's being paid by Zionists because he did work for them for years.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
He's talking about Mossad, not about Sam Harris. He's like, oh, I know. Blah, blah, blah.
Like, yeah. Where did he say that? Like,
after
did he say that?
He says he's just a crazy Christian, so why should we believe anything he says? And then leans forward and very quietly says, or he's being paid well.
Let me just.
Religious fanatics knows from the inside that these Muslims are crazy. Okay. First of all, he's not a Muslim. He renounced his Islam, he's an evangelical Christian. Secondly, I thought you said we can't trust religious fanatics. But this guy is a religious fanatic. He's a fanatical evangelical Christian. So why do we suddenly credit his testimony? He's a crazy Christian. Before that, he was a deranged Muslim. And the common denominator is he's clearly a lunatic or he's paid well.
Oh yeah, I missed that part. Okay, good catch, Rivka. Good job. Oh, we got shekels. We got 6 shekels from Noah. Thank you so much. 6 shekels from Musad. Well, thank you, Musad. I appreciate that. I mean, I think Musad would be able to afford. Thank you. We appreciate any support you can give us, Musad.
No, even there, he looked like he was reading note cards.
What is this point? Even there, it looks like he was reading note cards. Oh, yeah, the son of Hamas, that guy, he thinks like, oh, he's paid because it seems like somebody, the Zionists, are just giving him note cards to read out loud. This is the level of analysis that they come to this idiot for? Like, oh, he's like, looks like he's reading note cards. What is, like, this is what, guys, let me explain to you what's happening here. This is the kind of analysis people have when they don't have logical arguments against the other side, right? They just go directly to the person. Like, you could, if you get some arguments and you want to show how it's wrong, you look at, you know, the premises and the conclusion and either challenge the premises or the structure of the argument. But if you can't do that, if you're an idiot or if you want to fool your followers, instead of doing that, you do what he is doing right here. You basically challenge the person individually, you make fun of them, or you question their motives, or you act like they're being paid from someone else, like by Zionists. By the way, he's doing the whole Jews controlling, you know, paying things, the trope, which is kind of anti-Semitic what he's doing here right now, but okay.
Yeah, it's also, I noticed like him just saying, we can't trust him, he's a crazy Christian, so why should we believe? He's sort of trying to turn this argument around and make what Sam's saying about really small, like, insults or things like that. And that's why he keeps saying he's a deranged Muslim. He's purposely, I feel like, trying to hit the feelings and to trigger people. And he's not actually addressing the content. He's turning into, oh, he just called us all name-calling contest or something.
Right. Anyways, guys, make sure you like the stream. I see, like, around 200 people are here. Make sure you like the stream. You know, that really helps grow, make more people see these videos. But so please go ahead and do that.
Number two. Let's say he was a Muslim, and let's say he was a representative of...
Oh, let's say, as if that's not reality. Let's just say, like, maybe that's, like, he's just casting doubt.
Of something? How? On what basis do we deduce that he's representative of 1.5 billion Muslims? Where did we make that leap? He's one individual.
You don't need to represent 1.5 million Muslims. The claim is not that every... These people are so stupid. The claim is that Islam has an influence on people acting like this. The claim is that in Islam has an... There's a positive correlation and causation between these types of activity and Islam. Positive correlation doesn't mean that it... Everybody will be acting like this, you freaking moron. Here's let me make it easy. Poverty increases crime rates. Okay, there is a correlation and causation relationship between poverty and crime. Rivka, do you think I just said every poor person is a criminal? Did I just say that or no?
No, but how can I believe you? You're, you know, what if, how do I know if you're, you know, you're not poor anymore. You're just a deranged rich person. Like that's his argument, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
That's why I said it like that. You know, and what's really interesting to me is he's supposed to be talking about Sam Harris's comment, but he spent a lot of time trying to undermine and dismiss any bona fides that Mossab Hassan Youssef has, right? He's not a Muslim. He's being paid somehow. I mean, he's even reading note cards. Look at me. I'm not using note cards. You know, like, what is he? What is that? So he's just trying without bringing a real argument.
Says the Zionist who has notes right next to her, Rivka. Are you being paid by somebody? Like, I see you. I see you. You have notes here. Are you? Oh, God. But I don't know. Guys, please tell me in the live chat. Do you think this guy is an idiot or he's being dishonest? Because Sam Harris did not say that son of the Hamas leader who was speaking about his experience and his knowledge about the whole situation was a representative of all Muslims, of 1.5 billion Muslims. Why are you not addressing the arguments that are actually being made instead of addressing made-up ones? Like, it just shows how weak you are. It just shows that you cannot address what is actually being said, that you have to make a straw man and respond to that instead. Oh, we have a super chat from Norse mythology saying, does lived experience have relevancy? A plurality of it, yes. You know, if you get many lived experiences and you collect those lived experiences in a scientific way and analyze it in a scientific way, then in that case, it will become a lot more credible. But yeah. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say it's important in this case, though, the reason part of why it's being really focused on, especially by Sam, is because he's trying to refute the leftist argument that you can't talk about a subject unless you've lived it, you know, so that's sort of part of their argument. Like, you don't bring any validity to the discussion. So Sam saying these things, he's saying, look, I am not the only one saying it. This guy who actually lived this, meaning Mossab Hassan Youssef, is saying this as well. So he's bringing the bona fides, you know, he's got the credibility according to their argument. Okay, he's not saying it's a real, he's just saying, according to what you guys are saying is important before you're allowed to speak on it. Look, I'm agreeing with the guy with the lived experience. And then Finkelstein does what they always do, they meaning, you know, leftists, when somebody who does bring lived experience, who does have, you know, OIR, high oppression index rating, and says something that isn't the narrative that they want, then they dismiss that person as not a real whatever.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. It gives great point. Roy has another super chat from us, 6 shekels. Roy is saying, Mossad neither confirms nor denies ties with Noah. Okay, good to know. Thank you so much, Roy. I'm so glad that this channel has become a direct way of communicating with Mossad. This is a very, you know, I didn't ever think we would get here, but that's great.
This is the we deduce that he's representative of 1.5 billion Muslims. Where did we make that leap?
Nobody made that leap. You're imagining arguments that haven't been made.
He made that leap.
You made that. You're right. He made that leap. Nobody else did here.
On what basis do we deduce that he's representative of 1.5 billion Muslims? Where did we make that leap? He's one individual. Okay. And maybe he's representative of something, but he's representative of a powerfully deranged Muslim culture. Then he says that Islam is deranged. It produces a prodigious number of suicide bombers. Okay, there's a large amount of literature since 9/11 on suicide bombers. Mm-hmm. Does he cite anything? How many?
Yeah, actually, he does. Not in a Piers Morgan show. They give you like 5 freaking minutes to make your point. Of course, he's not going to be able to cite. There are studies in this. Go on, Rivka.
So I actually have some of the numbers that he's asking for, and I find it interesting that he wants citations, but yet he doesn't bring any to the argument. So, like, he could have cited, you know, studies that I'm sure he could find to back up his argument, you know, religion makes people happier or whatever he wants to say, okay, about that, or to talk about something else. But he doesn't bring any citations, but yet he asks Sam for them. Well, I'm going to bring one, okay, in a French study, because he's saying Islam doesn't have anything to do with suicide attacks, you know, or he's saying let me rephrase that. Finkelstein is trying to refute the assertion that Islamist ideology and any kind of suicide attacks have any relationship, okay? And I noticed that he doesn't say Muslims, like people. He talks about Islam. So he's doing this sort of I need to defend Islam type thing. Because as I've said over and over again in the last few weeks, a lot of leftists have Islamophilia. You know, they're in love with it. They fetishize it. So this is a French organization that did a study. It's called the Foundation for Innovation and Politics, okay? And I'm translating the French. So they, in their study, and you can look it up, it's FONDAPOL, like .org is their organization. They did a study of terrorist attacks from 1979 through May 2021. And they found there were 48,035 Islamist terrorist attacks around the world specifically. And they say in the study, there may be more because you can't, they may not have been reported as such, or that, you know, just because of margin of error. And they found that this resulted in 210,038 deaths. Okay. Mm. Now, if you go specifically to Palestinian suicide attacks, there's a Wikipedia called List of Palestinian Suicide Attacks. And this is from 89 through 2016. And I can't list them all, but they have each decade and they'll tell you where, the date, and who carried it out. And if you keep looking, you know, you see Hamas, Islamic Jihad. They also name people that they can name, and they'll tell you how many people died, how many were injured, and it goes on and on and on. And you can read through these and you can see, You know, I mean, just in the 90s, we got 1993, 1994, 1995, 1996, 1997, 1998. And then we get into the 2000s and then they become even more. And it just keeps going on and on and on.
So we need to make sure. Get to the, yeah, give me to,
so make that's me my a, point yeah. is their citations. All it takes is a little Googling, but he doesn't want to do that because that's not what he's trying to do. Because if you read, Roy made a point too, saying, you know, he's doing this on purpose, and that's why I said, oh, listen to when he said, oh, he's being paid. He's doing all of this on purpose.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to read another super chat, but then we need to get to the rest of the video a little bit faster, both of us. Okay, so I don't know how to read this name. Sparagamos. Okay. So this super. Thank you so much for the super chat. Saying he justified the Charlie Hebdo attacks. Yep, he did, and called David Irving. That's a Holocaust denial person. Yeah. Did I pronounce his name right? A very good historian. Yeah, so he actually, Finkelstein, called a Holocaust denier a very good historian. By the way, would be cool to see a convo with Rationality Rules, Armin. Well, I mean, I have contacted him, and I wanted to do a show with him, and he confirmed many times that we're going to do it, and then he ghosted me. So go ahead and tell me that. Ask him why he's not responding to me anymore. But he was very interested in doing a show with me, and then he stopped responding. Anyways, let's continue with this.
How many out of those 1 point? He said a steady stream for 50 years. I'd be curious. How many Muslim children are rigged to explode? How many Muslim children? I would like to know. I think that's an interesting number. You say that somehow this phenomenon is peculiar to Islam. How many people?
Yeah, there is. We have all these numbers. Again, based on your own standards, if you could dismiss Sam Harris because he didn't cite anything, then we could now dismiss you because you didn't cite anything.
By his reckoning, I happen to have a lot of Muslim students. They like me by reputation. By his reckoning, every time a Muslim student walks in my class, I should be terrified that he may explode.
You lie. You freaking moron. You lie. You lie. That is not at all what Sam Harris's point is. I don't know. These people don't understand simple math or simple correlation. Saying something causes something doesn't mean that the causation is complete. This is so simple. How do they not understand this? Saying Islam causes this type of behavior, that doesn't mean every freaking Muslim is going to do such a thing. Why are you lying about? Why are you so? I'm telling you, this guy is either so stupid or extremely dishonest. Go on, Rivka.
So this is the technique, though, that I have heard a lot amongst leftists when they encounter something that makes them uncomfortable or that counters the narrative or that they want to refute. It's this, you're saying these bad things about people. You just hate all Muslims. You just hate this. It's part of that whole calling somebody a racist to shut them up technique. And that's what he's doing. But instead of standing up and going, Islamophobe, you just hate me. He's trying to do it in what he perceives to be a more intellectual way. And I find it interesting that he says, he uses this trope of like, I have a lot of Muslim students. They like me, which is exactly like, oh, some of my best friends are Muslim. And people laugh at that, especially on the left. If anybody ever brings that to an argument saying, you know, oh, I'm married to somebody who's from the Middle East or whatever, they're like, oh, that doesn't count. You could still be a, you know, but for some reason it counts with him. And he's just ad hominem. He's pretending that what Sam said is this, and he's trying to take his fifis, his feelings, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to appeal to people's feelings. Oh, you hate Muslims. You think they're bad. No, that's not what I said.
I think he doesn't understand the difference between Islam and Muslims. Saying Islam is evil and has a negative influence, it's not the same as saying every single Muslim out there is a potential danger, right? That those are not the same claims. And anybody who has, I don't know, 2.5 neurons would be able to understand that.
The Islamophobe narrative is that if you say anything against Islam, then you're actually talking about all Muslims.
Yes, but imagine how little understanding you must have of what Sam Harris is saying to think that that would be the conclusion of his statements. Like, you don't understand anything he's saying, okay? Or you haven't been paying attention. But Rivka, I have an interesting information for you. Some of my friends are Zionists. So checkmate, Finkelstein. Like, right? I mean, I have you have Muslim friends, and I guess that disarms, that completely destroys Sam Harris's argument. Well, I have Zionist friends. So what about that? You know, same standards. Okay. So
gotcha, normie.
Yeah. I mean, my Zionist friends seem to be good people. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's what he's saying.
No, he's
no. He says that this Muslim culture is powerfully deranged. Okay. I'd like to ask him a question, Mr. Harris, if I may, or Dr. Harris or Professor Harris.
What the hell is the point? Just make your point, you freaking moron. What is this show? Like, if I may, or like, what the hell? Okay.
Because he's so much better than everybody else. Look what a
joke. You're an intellectual. We get it, sir. You're an intellectual, okay? Okay, we get it. Oh my God, so cringe.
Right now, Israel's committing a genocide in broad daylight, in real time.
Not a genocide.
Nothing concealed, like those billionaires who tried to, who successfully ousted those college presidents, not behind the scenes, broad daylight, no fog of war.
That's not a genocide. You're a moron.
Couple more points. Sam wasn't talking about that in particular. He's talking about ideology that drives terrorism. Okay. Number one. He wasn't specifically discussing, you know, the G word. Secondly, you notice he does it again. He brings up the money. He says that Sam is saying it out loud, not like those billionaires who behind the scenes got rid of the presidents of Harvard and MIT or Columbia, the other one that McGill was her name. Who resigned. So he's implying, he's using anti-Semitic tropes. And this goes to the point that Roy made in his super chat and the point that I've made. He is doing this on purpose. And I said this from the beginning. He's playing to his base, right? Billionaires behind the scenes removed these college, so he's creating this sort of narrative that there's Jews behind the scenes who are manipulating it. What's next? Is he going to tell us that they're controlling the weather? You know, it's purposeful,
right? Yeah. All right, let's go. Oh, we got another super chat by Bender, my favorite character. Bender saying, these utopians, I don't know what you mean by that, they would never accept that they've got it all wrong about Islam, so they're now using deceit and lies. Thank you so much, Bender, for the super chat. Again, guys, the super chats really help us continue these shows, so thank you so much for that.
Genocide unfolding. We have headlines. Yesterday, there was a headline, The Times, 90% of Gaza's population faces starvation. Now, this is not starvation because of crop failure.
Yeah, and Hamas is at fault for all of this, by the way.
It's not the Irish potato famine. It's a human contrived starvation, which is embraced by the leadership in Israel, the United States government, but also...
As much as I want to as much as there's blame to go around when it comes to the Likud party and Netanyahu, which I will be happy to blame them as well, this is mostly Hamas's fault. There are many organizations within Israel, and there's a lot of activists constantly trying to better the lives of people in Gaza, including, which I might remind everybody here, are all the program that was constantly giving work permits to people in Gaza to come to Israel to work so that they could increase the economic activity in Gaza, to bring money from Israel to Gaza so that people there prosper and de-radicalize Gaza. That was an effort done by Israel and a whole bunch of people within Israel who were volunteering their corporations because they wanted to hire mostly from Gaza so that Gazan people's lives improve. The reason why we have such economic hardship in Gaza, it's because of Hamas. It's because of, no matter how much people try to send food, money, build hospitals, roads, water pipes, for some reason, for Islam reasons, Hamas constantly destroys all of that. The water pipes that Israel uses to send water into Gaza are the same water pipes that Hamas digs out of the ground to turn into rockets. I want to also remind everybody the story of that Israeli man who had a company in Israel, and he was hiring people from Gaza because he was trying to help with the peace process. And on October 7th, one of the Hamas militants killed his daughter in Israel. And even after October 7th and after losing his daughter, he was still committed to hiring people from Gaza because he was still committed to improving people's lives in Gaza because he still believed in the project and he still believed that there's a way to peace. Go on, Rivka.
Oh, no, I was going to make some of those points, but you already made them. So let's listen to what else he has to say, because I can refute some more.
Since we're talking about people who are powerfully deranged, the 1 month into the Israeli genocide in Gaza, the Israelis, there was a poll done, Time magazine, and a report that's 57% of Israelis think that Israel is not using enough force in Gaza. Mm-hmm. Not using enough force. Now,
see, he's being so dishonest here, okay? So saying not using enough force doesn't mean that they want more civilians to die. But he doesn't say it, but he wants his audience to make that connection. Yes, I want them to be using more force as well. That doesn't mean you don't think the civilians dying is not a tragedy. Okay, you want to use more force to defeat Hamas. You want to use more force to end this conflict. You want to use more force to stop the war. In the same way that the allies, when they're bombing, I don't know, Germany, you know, people wanted them to use more force so that they could end the goddamn war. But again, he doesn't say that, well, Israeli citizens didn't technically say that we want more civilians to die in Gaza. And he doesn't say it himself because he knows that if he says it, then we could show him that he's wrong. But he just throws that out there for the audience to just make that connection. Like, oh my God, so many people in Gaza are dying and you want to use more force? So you want more civilians to die? And he knows that would be the conclusion of his audience. Go on, Rivka.
Also, I think it's interesting. He says there's a poll. What poll? Cite it. You wanted citations. You wanted numbers. Tell me who did the poll. When was it done? It could have been done at a previous incursion in Gaza. We don't know because he's not telling us, which to me shows that he's not a serious intellectual, because I cited the study and I said, here's where you can go find it. Okay. And same with Wikipedia. I said, told you where I found it. Then also, he's trying to make the connection between starvation and this supposed line from the Times, okay, and Israelis. And so he's saying more force, but he's trying to make people think that they want more people to starve, that they want more, you know, and this is, and still he has not addressed the actual points that Sam has made.
Right, right. And he's doing whataboutism. So let's just assume, which this nonsense that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, let's just assume that is true. Okay, what does this got to do with Sam Harris's point? Maybe let's, even in a parallel world where this is true, this narrative was true that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, the other point could still also be true. It could also be true at the same time that Islam is having a radicalizing effect on people committing more suicide bombings and other terrorist activities, while also Israel committing genocide. What you're saying, even if it was true, does not negate the other point. It's just whataboutism.
Yeah, oh, God, it's so easy. It's like he is reflexively, and this is why I think it's like very part of this whole leftist moving the goalposts agenda and things like that, and feeling like this fetishization. It's like he's reflexively defending Islam. It's like he can't even hear that there's another argument. You hear somebody say, oh, Islam has an effect on this, Islamism, you know, blah, blah. Then he's like, oh, wait, I can't even hear what he's actually saying. Must defend Islam. Must defend Islam. It's like he's incapable of actually addressing the argument because he's so worried or so driven to have to defend the ideology.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's watch the rest of this. We're going to run out.
There's no fog of war. Israelis have a relatively free media, and they all have access.
Which they use to criticize their government all the freaking time, by the way.
To the internet, so they see all the same pictures as you see and I see. They see all of those kids. And
every war has civilian casualties. They also see, yes, we do see the civilian casualties, but we also see all the ways that the Israeli military has tried to reduce the civilian casualties. We also see on TV and on social media all the ways that Hamas tries to maximize the civilian casualties in Gaza. So maybe complete that thought. Maybe don't, yes, we do see the children dying. We also see who's responsible for them dying.
They think not enough force is being used.
You know, maybe if there was Israel has more forces, more precision, more, again, if Israel didn't have the force that it does right now, there would be more civilians dying, right? One reason why civilians are the number they are and not higher is because of the high level of technological advancements that Israel has, right? So more force doesn't mean more civilians dying. It could actually mean less.
So what percentage do you think too much force is being used? You know what percentage? 2%. So I would say that's prima facie evidence of being powerfully deranged.
Oh, just doing whataboutism. Yeah, okay. Let's say that's true. Like, you know what? Israelis are deranged, okay? Zionists are deranged. Israelis are deranged. Oh, they're all deranged, okay? That doesn't negate Harris's points. But, oh, we got a super chat by Benny. Benny saying, thanks for so thoroughly taking down those who are seen as intelligent go-to scholars for the leftists here in the U.S. I have felt more lonely and uncertain since October 7th, and I can't trust my previous news sources. Well, thank you so much, Benny. That's like a huge encouragement. I mean, thanks for the super chat, but also thanks for the kind words. That's like really encouraging for us to hear. Go on, Rivka.
I also think he's making these intellectual, or lack of it, leaps that he's trying to have people connect the dots. So Sam is saying that there's terrorism that is connected or is in relationship to Islamism. We have evidence of that, of the people committing it themselves. But Israelis saying we need to use more force is deranged, not because of their ideology, because they were attacked by terrorists. So he's trying to make this leap saying, oh, Israelis who think that we should defend our country, not defend an ideology, defend people, defend the nation, That is the exact same thing as people saying we need to defend an ideology by killing people. No, it is not. But he's trying to put them in the same category, that defense of a religious ideology is on par with defending yourself from a terrorist attack and preventing it from happening again.
That's such a good point, Rivka. I'm glad you made it. Just one slight correction. It's because, let's not say it's because of Islamism. It's Islam, right? It's because Islam and Islamism are the same thing. I think when people try to use Islamism, it's because they're trying to separate.
Right, you're right. I think I was trying to say Islamist. Okay.
Yes, Islamist is the right term, but yeah, I just wanted to. I'm glad you said it because I wanted to use that as an excuse to tell that to people. Okay, there is no such thing as Islamism. Islam is Islamism. But let's continue.
Now, he says these suicide bombers, they're powerfully deranged bombers. They blow themselves up. Okay, I don't think it's a good thing when people blow themselves up.
Oh, wow. Thank you for giving us that. Oh, my, so such a...
But here's something.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think it's a good thing when you blow other people up either.
What about ism? I think this guy doesn't know his logical fallacies.
I don't think that's particularly civilized.
Oh, wow. Really?
People don't want...
Okay, so here's the thing. Norman, when the Allies were blowing up the Nazis that saved your parents from, you know, the Holocaust, was that civilized? Right? Like, is blowing people up always a bad thing? What about when allies were doing that to the Nazis? Was that uncivilized?
I don't think that's in particular civilized.
Really? I mean, go ask your parents if they're grateful for the allies doing that or not. But go ahead, Rivka.
Again, he's doing it again. He's making the assertion, you know, behind, you know, supposedly like putting it out there, but I feel like he's purposely like doing this like a wink and a nod that terrorist suicide bombings are on par with having to defend yourself through the use of military force. These are the same things, right, which again is part of these tropes that his base uses, that anti-Israel people, you know, Jew haters use, that Israel is the same as a terrorist state. They're the same. And he's saying that. And he's also saying it's not civilized. Like somehow the civilized, you know, yeah, so there's these suicide bombers, but it's not civilized to respond, you know, with military strikes to defend your country. Now, what does he expect us to do? Give them a bite of our sandwich and say, please?
No, just let them come into your country and just kill, you know, Jews and just don't respond. Just like, I mean, that's what Jews are supposed to do. Like, don't you know how much hated they are in the world? Like, just let the people do this to you, apparently, and don't respond. That's what these people expect. Again, these people never tell you what would be the correct response, okay? If somebody comes into your country and kills their civilians, what are you supposed to do? Are you just supposed to take it?
Yeah, and I think your point is about, you know, Jews are supposed to just lay down and take it. I've made this point several times on this show that I feel like that is really what the world's saying. Like, why aren't you acting like the Jews that we're used to? Get slaughtered and then we'll feel sorry for you. And I also think he's trying to make, by saying, you know, this many bombs or 57% of people versus he's trying to make this weird proportionality argument as well, like, oh, you know, which is really strange.
All right, let's just go through this because we're already
over. Let me hear it, but I'll say it. Israel is a citizen army, which is actually a good thing, in my opinion. Of course, the religious managed to get ways out, but in general, it's a citizen army. But that's a two-edged sword. You know why?
Because everyone's militarized.
Excuse me. Well, no, it's a two-edged sword because that means you're representative of Israelis.
That means you're a fair target. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Like, let me just.
In general, so when they carry out the genocide,
right,
they're representative of Israeli society.
Right.
Everyone in Israel is either a war criminal or a vicarious war criminal. Everybody participating in that is they brought up 350,000 reservists.
Do you understand what he's saying when he says that's a good thing? That means that now we don't have to feel sorry for you. He says that he's technically saying that Hamas's attack is fair game because every single Israelis are soldiers. They're military staff. So they're fair targets. And he's saying that's it's a good thing. It's a good thing that they all have served, because now it's a good thing that now we could call every single one of them a war criminal. And that makes every single one of them a fair target. This is genocidal. What he's saying is genocidal. Go on, Rivka.
So he doesn't, he's not saying as if he says it, but I want to just make a point. Like, so he's saying, oh, it's a citizen army. It represents all of Israel. But then he also says the religious managed to get out. So do the people who don't serve also represent Israel? Like, what is his point? You know? Let me just focus on this. Like, so those people aren't targets because somehow they managed to get out. And I think what he's trying to say is he's trying to make those super religious Jews that pro-Palestine people like to hold up, who are anti-Zionism, as the real, you know, because they're not serving. So somehow they're not, I don't know.
I want to focus more on him saying it's a good thing that these are all Israelis, like the ones that serve, are a representative of this genocide, of the entirety
of society is what he said.
Yes. And that would make, and it's a good thing that now, based on that, we could consider every single one of them war criminals. Because this narrative, what he's saying, is definitely an excuse for basically taking out civilians. Because in his book, they're not civilians. What he's telling you right now, while accusing the other side of being genocidal, this is an argument, this is an excuse for being genocidal to every single Israeli, except maybe a few. And he's, I rather than say it, he said it's a good thing. Let me go on, Rivka. I really want to make sure that we zoom in.
Yeah, we could replay that if we want. But I also think that he's, again, making an argument that the Hamas makes. Oh, we didn't kill civilians. We killed the military people, because every single person in Israel is a soldier, or they are settler, or whatever. They're in the military. So we're not killing civilians. We're you know, and... Yeah, and again, he's making this point that defending your country makes you this war criminal, which is exactly what a lot of leftists say. They have an absolute disdain for military service, yet somehow... By the way,
based on this line of reasoning, everybody in Iran, every man in Iran is also a fair game. Because there's mandatory military service in Iran for all men. So technically now half of Iran, which is the men of Iran, will be considered war criminals according to this standard. Because, you know, there are now the Islamic Republic's, you know, crimes will be on their, you know, they're responsible for it as well. But okay, so we got two super chats. What's art? $10 super chat saying, it gives me hope to see a secular challenge to the left's moral relativism. Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm glad we're giving you hope. You give us hope with complimenting us like this. It gives us energy. Siva saying, just supporting your channel just in case you are demonetized. Well, thank you so much. We haven't yet been demonetized, which is quite surprising. I like that we haven't been demonetized yet. Yes, we are still good. But again, usually, even if we don't get demonetized during the show, we do get demonetized after the show. So that helps. But Rivka, I really need to replay this part and then also listen to the rest of this video. So give me a second. Because I want to make sure you hear the part that says, because it takes a while for him to make the point, and that lady gets in her, interrupts him. So, but I want you to hear to from the start to finish. Because he said it's a good thing, and that lady misunderstood what he's trying to get at. But the good thing, then he ends it by saying that they're all war criminals. So he says that it's good that we could basically, he's doing what Sam Harris didn't do. Oh my, I just realized this. So Sam Harris didn't generalize all Muslims. He was just saying there's a causation and correlative relationship between Islam and radical extremism. He didn't generalize all Muslims. You accuse Sam Harris of generalizing all Muslims, and then you go ahead and generalize all Israelis as war criminals. Holy crap. He just did what he accused Sam Harris to do. Okay.
I don't think it's a good thing when people blow themselves up. Of course, the religious managed to get ways out, but in general, it's a citizen.
Oh, yeah.
Israel is a citizen army. Yeah. I don't think that's particularly civilized. People don't want to hear it, but I'll say it.
People don't want to hear it, but I'll say it here.
Israel is a...
But he's going to say something very... When people say people don't want to hear it, but I'll say it, he's going to say something that he knows is very controversial.
People are either. I don't think that's particularly civilized. People don't want to hear it, but I'll say it. Israel is a citizen army, which is actually a good thing, in my opinion. Of course, the religious managed to get ways out, but in general, it's a citizen army. But that's a two-edged sword. You know why?
Because then everyone's militarized.
Nope. Excuse me. Well, no, it's a two-edged sword because that means they're representative of Israelis in general. So when they carry out a genocide,
right,
they're representative of Israeli society.
Right.
Everyone in Israel is either a war criminal or a vicarious war criminal. Everybody participating in that is they brought up 350,000 reservists.
I like how they're accusing Sam Harris of generalizing when he used the phrase "in general" twice. When he's talking about Israeli, he himself used the word "in general."
Everybody participating is a participant in the genocide.
Yeah, Mars is saying, "Holy effing." Yeah, exactly. And also, I don't know what to say. This is so disgusting. This makes our job so easy. Like, these people are actively making arguments that supports genocide.
So have you heard about how many resistors there are? There are none.
Very few, yeah.
That's Israeli society. And I don't see, as I said, I'm not going to make a brief for a suicide bomber. However, I don't think there's any comparative redeeming virtue in murdering others from high-tech weapons and murdering them with your body. I don't see where is the difference. Okay, it's true. During the Second Intifada, there were Israelis.
Go ahead, Rivka. You want to say something?
Yeah, I want you to rewind that because I swear I heard him say something that I think was like super messed up about Israeli citizens and in the army. And I just go back a little bit because I
we're running at we're over time already. Okay, how much
heard about how many resistors there are?
There it is.
Here?
There it is. Yes. Yeah. He said, have you heard about how many resistors there are? And I believe he's talking about like refuseniks, people who say that, because based on what he said previously about army in Israel, who's refusing to serve or who don't want to. He's lying. There aren't none. There are people. They're on shows like this. Saying, oh, I don't want to serve in the Israeli. They've sat in jail. They're for refusing. They've made public statements. They've gone on media. Now, in this particular conflict, it may be less because they were attacked. Mm-hmm. Okay. In a heinous, barbaric terrorist attack. But it's not true. There are refuseniks, just like in every, and this is this thing that Israel is somehow different from any other country. They're all a bunch of, toe-stepping, you know, militaristic people that are fair game. That's not true.
Right. So, Rivka, because we're way over time, I'm just going to play the rest of it through and through, and then we could comment after that, because we're not going to be able to do... Okay, but we got a super chat by Bala. Bala saying, people like Norman and Norm made a career out of anti-Semitism. What can you expect? Thank you so much, Bala, for the super chat. Appreciate all your support. Okay, so let's finish this. So no more pausing until the end of this video.
That's Israeli society. And I don't see, as I said, I'm not going to make a brief for a suicide bomber. However, I don't think there's any comparative redeeming virtue in murdering others from high-tech weapons. And murdering them with your body. I don't see, where is the difference? Okay, it's true, during the Second Intifada, there were members of Hamas who had strapped onto them explosives, went on buses and blew up the buses. Okay, that was terrible. I didn't approve of it back then. You know, when I accept, I'm not afraid to express my point of view, as I did on October 7th, where I said they were atrocities, but I refused to condemn or support those who committed the atrocities. I will stand by my words and let the chips fly where they do. I didn't support the blowing up of the buses. Okay, that's wrong. But how about targeting hospitals? How about targeting ambulances? How about targeting desalinization plants? Is that better? What makes it better, Mr. Harris? No, really, you claim to be a philosopher. I think you've got a dual degree in philosophy and neuropsychology. I understand. I don't follow you. Why is that better?
Or I think, flowing up kit.
I have to say, I think it's more cowardly. At least the suicide bomber is willing to sacrifice his, it's not, you know, very rarely women, I think there has been women, is willing to sacrifice his life. If we were going to make comparisons, I think a suicide bomber actually has at least some raw physical courage. Willing to sacrifice, well, he'll of course say because they're crazy with their religion. Which may or may not be true. Communists were willing to sacrifice their lives. Give me liberty or give me death. Was that religion? Was that religious fanaticism? There's a whole wonderful tradition of people willing to give their lives. Remember Martin Luther King, the last speech he gave? Yeah. Longevity has its value. But I've been to the mountaintop. I'm not afraid anymore. Yeah. So was he a religious fanatic because he was willing to die? So you can say, no, that's not the same, because with Hamas and the other fanatics, they blow up innocents. Really? Fine, I agree with that. And what do you think is going on in Gaza? Hospitals? Where Human Rights Watch concluded that there was no military justification for the targeting of hospitals. Who are you targeting in hospitals? You're talking about targeting the lame, the sick, the nearly dead, and the newborn. That's who you're targeting in hospitals. That's okay? That's okay? You know, it kind of like, it bewilders you how a reputedly intelligent person can say things which are just so transparently stupid.
Imagine how stupid do you have to be for people to say, like, Islam has a radicalizing effect on people, and you say, well, other people sacrifice their lives too. You are a moron, sir. You have no freaking idea what people are saying. Yes. Okay. First of all, if other people sacrifice their lives, either for good reasons or bad reasons, if it's for bad reasons, it doesn't negate the fact that Islam has a radicalizing effect. yeah, maybe communism has also a radicalizing effect. It doesn't stop the claim. It doesn't negate the claim that Islam has a radicalizing effect. Also, there are people who have sacrificed their lives for good reasons. That doesn't negate that these radicals are sacrificing their lives for bad reasons. What point do you think you're making? And Rivka, you make your point. I'm going to go and be right back, but you make the point, okay?
Right. So when he has this sort of not very clear argument where he's moving back and forth between topics, he's making like a specious argument. It might sound good, but there's actually no there. What he's doing is he's making a moral equivalence between the Hamas and Israel. He's saying there's no virtue in what Israel's doing because it's just murder. It's not war. It's not defensive. And it's not virtuous. And he's also saying that defensive war is not virtuous. So when the United States went to war because they were attacked in Pearl Harbor, whatever they did, it's not really virtuous. And also, he's saying that Israelis are cowards because they're not willing to blow themselves up and kill themselves while, you know, committing this boom boom. So it is reprehensible. This guy is doing exactly what I said from the very beginning. He's fetishizing these suicide bombers. He's making them somehow, or these terrorists rather, making them somehow more virtuous than someone who defends their country. Because they're willing to, you know, do the thing, you know, and he doesn't address at all the claim about children. And there have been so many ones. So are those children also virtuous? Are they not cowards because they strapped or they were forced into using their bodies as suicide bombings? And then also his hospital claim is crap. Hamas is the one using those hospitals. The Hamas is putting those munitions there, is hiding hostages there, is throwing their rockets from those areas. But he doesn't address that at all. All he's saying is that Israel isn't virtuous and Hamas is. That's basically what that argument he's making. And also, if you would show his tweet on October 7th, because he...
Yes. No, it's a post on, I think, Substack or whatever. Yeah, it's on so you can see this is his post on October 7th, 2023. But before I read that part that I want to read to you guys, Bijo with the super chat saying, saying at least suicide bombers get 72 virgins. Okay, thank you so much, Bijo, for the super chat. Appreciate all the super chats. Guys, make sure you like the stream. 200 people are watching right now. Like the stream so more people see this video, and also so that this channel grows, so that we could continue spreading, you know, destroying these dogmatic belief systems one by one, whether it's Islamic, whether it's communist, whether it's like anti-Jewish hatred, whether it's anti-Israel propaganda. This channel is dedicated to attacking all these nonsense, and we want you guys to make us stronger by just liking our streams and also sharing our videos with as many people as possible. Just go recommend Atheist Republic YouTube channel with all your friends and your enemies, okay? Not just your friends. But here, which is the part that I wanted to... Again, this is by Finkelstein. He posted this on October 7th. Let me see. We honor John Brown's armed resistance to slavery. So he's comparing the October 7th attack to John Brown's armed resistance to slavery. And he says, if we honor the Jews who revolted in the Warsaw ghetto, then moral consistency commands that we honor the heroic resistance in Gaza. So this was on October 7th when Hamas attacked Israel and killed, 1,200 civilians. He's saying that we have to honor the heroic resistance in Gaza. I, for one, will never, how do you say this? I will never begrudge on the contrary, it warms every fiber of my soul the sense of Gaza's smiling children as their arrogant Jewish supremacist oppressors have finally been humbled. So it says, I, for one, will never begrudge. On the contrary, it warms every fiber of my soul. The scenes of Gaza's smiling children as their arrogant Jewish supremacist oppressors have finally been humbled. So this is what he said on October 7th. But go on.
I want to make 2 points. John Brown, who actually lived in the town I'm from, so I know a lot about him, and he made his declaration just a few miles from me. He did want to end slavery, but he was also a terrorist, okay? In Kansas, he and his sons hacked to death the family, not just the men who were pro-slavery settlers, but the entire family of people who were pro-slavery settlers. So, you know, he's not some magical perfect figure. I mean, he committed atrocities too, and he killed people that had nothing to do with it. Women couldn't vote. Women had no say in any of this, but he hacked the whole family to death. He and his sons, and he encouraged his sons. And he also is making this moral equivalence between the resistors of slavery. So what he's saying is people in Gaza are slaves and they're just like John Brown resisting it. And he's using in the very end, glory, hallelujah. He's using Harriet Beecher, not Beecher Stowe, but I can't remember the name of the, now I'm losing it. I'm so angry. The woman who wrote the song against slavery, you know, is using that as saying it's some sort of moral equivalence of that. But if that's the case, and he's saying how bad defensive wars are, is he angry because the Union went to war to end slavery? No, that's a totally different thing. That's good, right? But he just said there's no virtue in any kind of war. And then also revolts in Warsaw. You know, there's a movie, it's a terrible movie, but it's important to watch. It's called Plan A. It's about a bunch of Jews after the Holocaust who were going to commit a terrorist act and blow up a bunch of German civilians. And apparently it's based on a true story. And they, in the end, said, no, they're not going to do it. They're not going to take revenge on civilians for something that happened to them. So it's just,
but they're not civilians, Rivka. They're not civilians.
Right. And this guy is showing himself with this tweet. So anything he says afterwards, as far as I'm concerned, is tainted by the fact that he is a Hamasnik. He is proud of what they did. While in another video, he's saying how terrible it is to defend your country or to join the military.
Okay, Rivka, I'm going to make this last point, and then I really have to go. But remember he said, like, there were some suicide bombings in buses that he condemned. This video that I just played you is after October 7th, and he's still not condemning October 7th. Just wanted to make that point. Anyways, we need to go. Make sure you like the stream. Make sure you subscribe to Atheist Republic right now if you're not subscribed. Make sure you hit the bell notification. Make sure that you leave a comment after the stream is over. Leave a comment under the show. That really helps grow the channel. And also go ahead and recommend Atheist Republic YouTube channel to your friends and to your enemies. And share this video, okay? All of that, none of that costs anything. It doesn't cost you a single cent to do any of those things, and it really, really helps us out. At least like the stream. At least do that. It costs you half a second, okay? Anyways, thank you guys. Till next show. Bye. Mwah.